We are reading from the books Kabbalah to the Student, page 98, Articles of Shamati, Article 34, the Prophet of the Land. The questions that are relevant to the lesson will be asked. You can ask them from our website. Shamati 34, the Prophet of a Land. It is known that nothing appears in its true form only through its opposite, as far as the light extends, the darkness. This means that everything points to another, and by the opposite of something, the existence of his opposite can be perceived. Hence, it is impossible to attain something in complete clarity of its parallel and absent. For example, it is impossible to estimate and say that something is good if its opposite is missing, pointing to the bad. It is the same with bitterness and sweetness, love and hate, hunger and satiation, thirst and saturation, adhesion and separation. It turns out that it is impossible to come to love, adhesion, prior to acquiring the hate of separation. To be rewarded with the degree of hating separation, one must first know what separation is, meaning what he is separated from. And then one may say that he wants to correct that separation. In other words, one should examine from what and from whom he is separated. After that, he can try to amend and to connect himself to the one he has become separated from. If, for example, one understands that he will benefit from joining with them, then he can assume and know that one loses by remaining separated. Gain and loss are measured according to the pleasure and the suffering. One stays away from something that causes one suffering and hates it. The measure of the distance depends on the measure of the suffering, since it is human nature to escape from suffering. Hence, one depends on one on the other, meaning to the extent of the suffering one exerts and does all kinds of deeds so as to stay away from it. In other words, the torments cause hate for the thing that induces torments, inducts torments. And to that extent, one says, stays far from it. It follows that one should know what is equivalence of form in order to know what he must achieve to achieve adhesion, called equivalence of form. By that, he will come to know what are the disparity of form and separation. It is known from books and from authors that the Creator is benevolent. This means that his guidance appears to the lower ones as benevolence. And this is what we must believe. Therefore, when one examines the conduct of the world and begins to examine himself or others, how they suffer under providence instead of delighting, it is fitting for his name, benevolent. It is then hard for him to say that providence is benevolent and imparts abundance. However, we must know that it is that in that state, when they cannot say the Creator imparts only good, they are considered wicked, because suffering makes them condemn their Maker. Only when they see that the Creator imparts them pleasure do they justify the Creator. It is as our sages said, who is righteous? He who justifies his Maker. Meaning, he who says that the Creator leads the world in a righteous way. Thus, when one suffers, one draws from the Creator, since he naturally becomes hateful of him, who imparts him torments. Consequently, where one should have loved the Creator, he now becomes the opposite, for he has come to hate the Creator. Accordingly, what should one do in order to come to love the Creator? For that purpose, we are granted the remedy of engaging in Torah mitzvot, for the light in it reforms. There is the light there, which lets one feel the severity of one's state of separation, and slowly one intends to acquire the light of Torah. Hatred for separation is created in him. He begins to feel the reason that causes him and his soul to be separated and far from the Creator. Thus, one must believe that his guidance is benevolent, but since one is immersed in self-love, it induces disparity of form in him. Since there was a correction called in order to bestow, called equivalence of form, only in this matter can we receive this delight and pleasure. The inability to receive the delight and pleasure that the Creator wants to give him evokes in the receiver hatred for separation. And then one can discern the great benefit and equivalence of form, and one begins to yearn for adhesion. In consequence, every form points to another form. Thus, all the descents where one feels that he has come to separation are an opportunity to discern between something and its opposite. In other words, one should learn the benefits of the ascents from the descents. Otherwise, one would be unable to appreciate the importance of being brought near from above, and the essence that he is given. He will not be able to extract the importance that he could extract, as when one is given food without ever having felt hunger. It turns out that the descents, which are at the times of separation, produce the importance of adhesion in the ascents, while the ascents make him hate the descents that are the separation, that the separation causes him. In other words, he cannot assess how bad the descents are when one speaks slander about the providence and does not ever feel whom he slanders, to know that he must repent for such a sin. This is called slandering against the Creator. Thus it follows that precisely when one has both forms, he can discern the distance between one and the other as far as light extends darkness. Only then can one assess and regard the matter of adhesion, by which the delight and pleasure in the thought of creation can be acquired, being his desire to do good to his creations. Everything that appears to our eyes but what the Creator wants us to attain, the way we do, since they are ways by which to achieve the complete goal. Yet, it is not so simple.
We already understand these discernments, feel them, acknowledge them, that only from one thing and its opposite that we go through in each and every level, we can come to the right discernments so as to prefer the form of bestowal on top of reception benefit. To invert the definitions of light and darkness that exist in our reception to definitions of bestowal through inner effort, scrutinies with the group, the study, demanding the correction that the light will come and firstly shine on us to clarify what is light and what is darkness, so that it becomes opposite to our corporeal egoistic benefits, which we deem as light, and darkness we refer to as lack of fulfillment. So by the light that reforms, I have to transcend these discernments to spiritual discernments. So the light to me becomes how far I am from myself and close to others, to the Creator. And this has to be built on the opposite of what I had before. So if at first I used to hate someone and I would enjoy the less he has and the more I have compared to him, and if I transcend that towards qualities of bestowal, so now it's exactly the opposite. The more that enemy which I still feel hate towards, I enjoy what he has and I induce his fulfillment, and that becomes my fulfillment. I enjoy what my enemy enjoys. I enjoy that the fact that he enjoys. I enjoy inducing his pleasure above my hatred towards him. And so on. All of these discernments, and also each and every discernment, contains more and more details. And all of it happens only by the effort in our group, along with the study and the light that reforms, we come to that transformation. That's how it is. Yes.
Questions from the friends in the convention in the Netherlands. We see a lot of the separation in Europe.
What do we see?
A lot of the separation that's in Europe. They're asking, how can we help real European unity during this whole separation?
First of all, we don't see any more scattered, confused, divided continents such as Europe. All the different religions and approaches and nationalities and nations, it's all there. Obviously, there's a lot of calculations from history, from the past, and then suddenly they started coming together. What nonsense? How is that possible? It's better to not touch each other, and then we can live peacefully. Just like today, you have a tower today where there's 100 apartments and people barely know each other. They just say, you know, hello, hello, and that's it. Why? Because that's the best way to keep living everyone in his own niche. As I begin to connect with another, I start owing him things he owes me, I have to think about him, he has to think about me, and this very much burdens life. When is it good, when is it preferable to connect? As Baal HaSalam says, he says that communism, well, of course that's exaggerated, but let's say the last generation can be established only after all members are corrected. Well, at least to an extent, let's begin to advance in terms of integration so that each and everyone sees the other as a good neighbor, and not even a neighbor, you know, a lot more. If we wish to merge our economics, our finances, then what do you mean? Can this come on the account of that or not? Or everyone is still separate? Well, what does it mean to merge? To be together? To have one pocket? Buddy, that's everything. Who wants that? Who of them really wants that? What makes them ready for making mutual concessions, sharing the same account, mutual aid? This requires time for educating them, not that long of a time. If we're talking about integral education, it's actually the fastest education, but education is required to see why we need to be connected, how, that it's a necessity by nature, and after that, on the condition that there is no other choice, then begin connecting to the extent that they're ready for it, internally, equally, to truly unify the systems and not just, why was the European Union market created? So that the strongest nations will benefit on the account of the weaker nations, so that Germany and France will be able to easily sell things to the weakest, to the weaker nations. So that's integration. Egoistic integration. Of course it can't hold water. It will either bring to war, or that they'll eventually realize that there has to be inner integration, fundamental integration, that they have to come close to each other, and they'll then build something common. There's no basis for it. I was in Spain, and they say the European Union ruined us, destroyed us. We can't grow and market wine. France is doing that. We can't fish in the fisheries. That was their whole income, because others are doing this now. In Lithuania, they spoke to me about how all of their dairy industry was destroyed because the whole country was based on that. And now you can't, because if you want to enter the European Union, then you had to stop that. So what did they have now? Nothing. So in that type of egoistic way, they try to approach unity. That can only induce later war. Therefore, education is a precondition. I see no chance for this thing to sustain itself. It actually provides a good example, a bad example for humanity of how we shouldn't try to come together, and perhaps from that we will learn how we should do it. Yes, Seth.
So, Rob, all over Europe, anti-Semitism is rising. How do we meet the anti-Semitism with love?
איך מגיבים אליה באהבה?
Well, as usual, as we just read, there's always two points in every subject. On the one hand, I don't need to love my enemy. On the other hand, I have to induce correction. On the one hand, I need to realize that I am hated to the extent that I am hated by the Creator, because the whole world is a reflection. It's managed by Him. On the other hand, nevertheless, I have to make all actions possible so as to correct myself, my relation with the Creator, and through that I correct my relation with the world. There's no reason for us to go out to Europe and start explaining that we're good. Usually the Jews want to tell people, we are not trying to do any harm, and it's true. The only real democracy in the Middle East is Israel. We do try to not steal and not do harm. Israel is the first country in the world, you know, to help other countries when, of course, that's according to the relative potential of, you know, according to the relative budget, let's say. Yeah, the budget per capita and so on. So we're helping the world several times more than what our neighboring, you know, the second country after us does that. Who needs that and who thinks about that? And add to that all the Nobel Prizes and then Motorola and who knows what. Who needs that? No one needs it. No one. So, on the corporeal surface, we cannot determine a thing. As much as you try to be good to them, to the nations of the world, they'll better diagnose that you are not fulfilling your role. Only one thing is demanded from you. One thing. Give us contact with the Creator. You're the passageway. You have to do that. That's up to you. There's no other commitment. Why are you taking work that is not yours? Why are you doing what you're doing? No one wants your culture or education or science or any other success. Don't give that to us. We try to manufacture and create all kinds of great things for humanity. Why doesn't humanity recognize us? What they're saying in return is, we don't want to acknowledge that. That's not what we're expecting. According to the plan of creation, you're supposed to give us light that reforms. If you don't do that, all the rest is nothing. On the contrary, you're doing things that are you're not supposed to. And that's why the entire system is drawn more towards anti-Semitism. Anti-Semitism is called the negative attitude to your engagements in this world, which are unnecessary. And you'll be hated even more, to the point that, I don't know, God forbid what can happen here. But all of this is because you're not doing what you're supposed to. You're supposed to be a light to the nations. A light to the nations, that's it, simple. The adapter, the connector, the passageway, like Baal Haslam says in the articles Matan Torah and Alvut, the connector. Galgalta enayim with respect to Achap. The kingdom of priests, educating the world. That's true. That you need to do. That you have to do. Until you begin to work on that, the world will hate you more and more. Because that is the correct form from them. I don't understand what you have to ask here, Mr. American. There's a creator here, and here is Israel. Israel, Yisrael. And here are nations of the world. The nations. Nations, okay. Nations of the world. So, how do you want them to look at you? You're here. Instead of making way for the light, which is something only you can do, pass it through you to others. Instead of that, you're creating a block. You're putting a cap on it. Shutting it, creating a border. So how do you expect not to be hated? Of course their attitude to you will be negative. Israel is Yashar El, towards the Creator. We have the ability to connect. We received that. We were broken and fell into the nations of the world. We made all those preparations. We haven't made them. They were made from above. We need now to start correcting ourselves. Begin correcting. And correct in order to give light to the nations of the world. So, why are you asking about anti-Semitism then? Obviously, it will escalate. And it only depends on our work. And usually what do the Jews do? They escape to Australia, you know, escaping to America now is not that popular. New Zealand, Australia, that's more popular, more quieter there. Look, instead of being at the center of the world and inducing the correction of the world, which is what only they can do, they run to some edge of the world, some corner there, want to hide there.
Tov. Ken Chaim.
Yes, Chaim.
Can we go back to the Europe thing for a second? We see that on one hand, the hatred and separation are just growing. On the other hand, the force of nature is actually connecting them more. They already stopped talking about separating Europe financially, and they start talking about it in a political way, to make it a political, like one country.
Yes, there's no other choice. By such pressures, the Creator obligates them to discuss connection after all, because they are afraid that otherwise there'll be an explosion. On the one hand, they're deteriorating to levels of unemployment and huge inequalities, gaps, problems, a lot of immigrants, huge problems everywhere. They have no other choice. Well, but that's a process. It's a process. They don't have a choice. They'll unite. How much time will it take and how much blood? That's a question. That's still a question. But obviously, there won't be any choice. All of the smart people sitting there, politicians, economists, it's all, they see things in a very distorted manner. What has to do with consideration, integration, they'll have to educate the people, or more accurately, prepare them to connect. Prepare them. And preparing a European person to connect is perhaps worse than Americans. You see, the Americans somehow started moving towards connection. Look at what happened with the black people 50 years ago and today. Look at this fast process. Look at how was the attitude towards South Americans and today. These are changes, big changes. Whereas Europeans, they don't move. So there, it has to be very powerful education. In America as well, of course, and everywhere. But there, it's just quickly necessary.
So why does it turn out that the force of nature is what drives them to unity more than any other group there? They have to go through the recognition of evil. And that recognition has to be really strong. They still don't agree to unity. They don't agree that unity has to come internally through and with the agreements of the man. They don't agree, and nobody agrees yet, and doesn't want to change the man, the Adam, the person. They want to change systems, let's change this and this, but me inside? I'm going to have to start loving somebody to connect to somebody? Well, okay, yeah, you know, like politically correct, but we're really talking about changing our nature, changing our understanding, a new paradigm. It's not simple. They're going to need to do it. The difference is simple. To change external systems or internal systems. That's what has to click in their minds, that there's no choice. We have to change humans. And then that question is, with what? If we don't change them, there's going to be the end of the world. If we do change it, it's going to be opening the new world. But how? And this is where they're going to start listening. They did start listening. On one hand. On the other hand, since they can't see how to change man, they don't come to this. They push this opportunity to the side. What? To change the man? How can you do that? Because this is the upper force actually working in changing man. Well, we're going to have to do some more. Yes, Terence. About France, I'm not even talking. That's, with their pride, very hard.
We spoke about the U.S. and Europe. Can we also talk about Africa?
I actually don't know that continent at all. I'm sure that in the future, and they're already talking about that they have a great future in front of them. But you can, I don't know. I don't really have any foundation to start a conversation about it.
I'm
just preparing a lecture now that you're going to have in Africa, seemingly.
What are you laughing?
He said, you.
I'm going to give a lecture in Africa. I thought you.
Yes.
What?
No, he means an interview on studio.
Oh, an interview. I thought I'm going with you to Africa.
No, you'll do a TV program together and he'll ask you questions about Africa.
Okay, I have no problem going with him. I have no problem.
On voit en ce moment qu'en Afrique, en fait, il y a des organisations juives qui convertissent les gens en masse au judaïsme.
We see that there are a lot of Jewish organizations now in Africa that are trying to drive people towards Judaism.
What are they doing?
Mobilizing them, trying to bring them close to Judaism.
Really?
Au Cameroun et dans beaucoup de pays d'Afrique centrale en ce moment on convertit au judaïsme.
In Cameroon and Central Africa.
I don't know, there was never anything like this. Jews never try to really pull anybody to Judaism. It's not allowed. It's not allowed according to the Torah. Even somebody who wants to, so they push him away and they don't receive him until he really says, I want to be in this. It was never like this. The Islam, the Christianity, for them, religion is opposite. They want to spread. But Judaism? No. Just to the people. And whoever really, really wants, then, only then. But never advertise it or never try to pull people in. It's the first time I'm hearing something like this.
En même temps, il y a une montée d'antisémitisme en Afrique, ce qui n'existait pas avant.
In parallel, there is a rise in anti-Semitism in Africa that was never there before.
Well, that's because they're advancing. The advancement and development of humanity brings anti-Semitism, yeah. Because it's in the same inclination of the development of the world. Until the world doesn't start correcting, when it's only acquiring more and more ego, so it goes into anti-Semitism more and more. Why were the Germans so anti-Semites? Because it was the most developed country in Europe. Very simple. If it was a different country that was so developed, in the measure of development, well, more or less, there's another conditions here, but according to the measure of development, that's the measure of anti-Semitism. I don't know what. Well, we'll meet in the studio and we'll talk about this. I don't have anything else to say. Here, another French guy.
Yes, I see that what we have in the internet, we use really the internet poorly. Today we have possibility to really integrate all the different systems we have in the internet. Is it worthwhile to invest in that?
הוא אומר שלפי מה שהוא רואה אנחנו משתמשים באינטרנט בצורה ממש לא מספיק טובה, הוא שואל האם כדאי להשקיע מאמצים בלאחד את כל המערכות השונות שיש לנו באינטרנט לכדי מערכת אחת.
נכון, כדאי מאוד.
Right, it's really worth it. Yeah. Whoever can help with this, really, he will advance and according to his efforts. We're talking about unity, on the fact that we have to be in one place, in one desire, under one force, and our actions are really scattered all over the place, and it's really it's stopping us, this kind of things we're doing, it's stopping us from advancing, instead of turning it into one, we're just scattering our forces. And then it costs us a lot of efforts, a lot of time, and the results are very not satisfying. That's the problem when we can't hear. You don't hear what I'm talking about. I've been saying this for years, that we need one place, one website, everything one, everything simple, everything reachable without 1,001 places, 1,001 links for all kinds of things and so on. It just confuses people. And on the contrary, it causes us to scatter. We're going against nature. That has to be integral. What are you going to do? You see what goes on here in according and as results in your friends.
Yes, so I think that one of the problems why it's like this, that it's not really the young people who are doing it, because I see like the young generation, let's say 15 years old, they have so big knowledge how the internet works, and then the 20 years old, they already know really how to program it, and they on the peak of the technology. And if they would take over of this, they could do really great job instead of the people who use technologies of 30 years ago.
הוא אומר שהבעיה זה שהוא רואה את זה שמי שכרגע מנהל את האינטרנט, הרוב האנשים הטכניים זה אנשים המבוגרים דווקא, והוא חושב שדווקא אנשים בני 15 היום שולטים ממש טכנולוגית, ו-20 כבר מתכנתים וכו'. הם פסגת הטכנולוגיה היום. אז הוא חושב שהבעיה זה שמשתמשים בטכנולוגיות לפני 30 שנה,
If you ask me, I would change out this whole factory into different people. Bring them.
Let's have a revolution here. I'm ready. Yes.
For this specifically, there was an initiative to start some sort of a greenhouse for to share knowledge and of developers on the internet. We would like to push that forward.
You can try. I've been hearing about this for a long time. I think this is about the old ones here that don't want to. That it's convenient for them to sit like this, and that's it. We just need to have something dramatic in this whole factory.
How can we break through with this?
I don't know. I think that what you can do is to set goals, dates and goals. And then, on whatever it costs, just make them happen. And under any circumstances, just make them happen. Not only about the uniting all our websites and all the virtual places. There's a lot of problems that we are carrying for years. And we agree that they stay like this. I don't know how to do it. But like in everything, it all depends on humans that are the people, that if they understand that this is the crane for them to rise up, to advance. So, and according to that, what they do is what they do. I can't get into this and influence this in any way or try and change anything. I can't. This is really depends on the person itself that's in every position here. As much as he wants to advance, as much as he understands that he's giving to society and not stopping it or not stealing from it in its time and efforts, it's a very big problem. We're working with our ego. Yes, Mushi.
We were always concerned to have a separation between our spiritual progress and dissemination work that we're doing.
How can that be?
Well, that's how it is.
How can you disconnect my spiritual advancement if something happens in the world? As much as I influence the group, as much as I influence and bestow to the world, as much as I influence myself, how can you disconnect this?
No, the way I see today, first of all, the problem is clear, that only the people who can't get along is what prevents progress in any project. That's obvious. So there's no reason to complain to the European Union if we, you know, study together for 20 years and can't get along.
Okay.
The question is, well, look, first of all, we usually connect only in workshops, and there's not a lot that we have to share with each other there. Mostly is I need to just nullify myself to hear them. But it's not that, you know, when we have to start working together, I'm not even talking about living together. When you enter that level of connections, then there are things to give up on, to concessions to make. So maybe it's about time that we start tying these things together a bit. If a person would connect that to spiritual progress, I'm sure he would make concessions or try. At the moment, it's like disconnected.
Okay. Prepare questions to the workshop in that subject, and we'll do it. Yes.
Can I ask about Egypt?
Egypt? The current Egypt or the one? But what are you making out of me, a political man? What?
No, it's just something that could be, well, that's the question. It's actually, there are big riots there now following the execution of the football fans that were accused at... And basically, it's a tragedy there. There's a lot of riots and violence there. A few questions. Why is it happening? How can it influence Israel? And what can we do about it? What should we do about it?
I have no answer to any one of those questions. I don't want to be... I don't want to be in this politics. We can't measure things in the short term. We have to be above them. I don't want that anybody will get killed or hurt in the world. If I can't bring the world to correction right now, in 1 second, the Gmar Tikkun, everything in the world that's happening for the bad, doesn't matter to who, it's because of me. That is my fault. So what am I looking about what's happening in the world? I have to worry about, as quick as I can, bring them the method of correction. Also in print, also virtually, also in courses, in the internal system, in our unity, in every channel I can. And if somewhere in the world something happens, it is me not bringing the world to correction, because I am the only one who can do this. And after that, they come and scream about the Jews. Scream at the Jews. And they say, it's the Jews did it, the Jews did it. And they're screaming from their nature, from the nature of the person that feels that it's that way. He doesn't know why, but it's like that. He has a knowledge, a natural knowledge in this. And we don't understand, as much as I explain to you or explain to the world, they don't understand that if something happens in the world, we're guilty, and that's the way it is. You want things, the riots to stop in Tahrir? Please, do what you're supposed to do. Bring more light that reforms. Pray for them. Because you have to bring them to correction. The entire world is yours. It's not simple. Hope you'll think about it till tomorrow and really think about this. Also towards the factory and also towards what's happening in the world. Everything depends on hastening the correction on our behalf. I am turning to all our friends all over the world, to the TV audience, to everybody. Let's feel a bit more responsible. And until then...
Announcements Sunday, today, special broadcast day on Kab.TV at 5 p.m. Israel time, virtual lesson with Rav Lightman, 6:30 p.m., World Gathering of Friends, and at 7, the worldwide workshop with Rav Lightman. On Monday, 6:30 p.m. Israel time, there is a free introductory lecture to Kabbalah, and it happens in Yokneam City. Free entrance if you want to come. Details at 1-700-509-209. Experience named Kabbalah in a new format on Tuesday, 7 p.m. Israel time. Live broadcast of a workshop together with Rav Lightman happening in all the Irvut centers in Israel and broadcast on Channel 66 and Kab.TV. Everyone's invited. Free entrance, 1-700-509-209 for details, or kab.co.il. Good day, good night.
Yeah.